So many controversial subjects we're talking about today on Black Hollywood Live this week, including the Orlando shooting and more. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Black Hollywood Live this week. Hey, it's another long week. That is concluding with a lot of topics. I mean, we got child attack by a gator we're talking about, VH1 Hip Hop Awards, the Tony's diverse winners, the Khalif Law, Orlando shooting, and Democrats are pushing for more gun legislation.
All that and more.
A lot of stuff. But first up, I want to introduce my co-host for the day.
Wait, but who are you?
Oh, I'm Daryl Kristen.
That's who you are, baby.
That's who I am.
That's right.
I forgot myself.
You forgot yourself.
How'd I do that?
You never forget yourself.
You're right. You should never forget yourself. You start with yourself first.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. I'm Daryl Kristen. Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. My co-hosts today are the beautiful Courtney Stewart.
What's up, y'all?
The equally handsome Tony Moore.
That's me.
He is subbing today for Jesse Janity and Rachel True, but he will be a great addition.
Oh, I had to sub for two people?
You got to sub for two, so it's no pressure.
Listen, that's a lot.
That's why we gave you extra room on the side. Yes. And two of the outspoken people on this panel as well.
Two favorites, man.
The favorites.
Oh, goodness.
No pressure.
Oh, goodness. There's no pressure at all. Listen, y'all get what you get. That's all I can give.
I think you're going to give a lot. I feel confident.
Yeah, you know, I'll be all right. We'll see how this goes. You can give me a report card later.
Yeah, I'll give you a little grade later.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we got some great topics, as I mentioned today, and a lot to cover as well. So we're going to start off with you taking over Jesse Janity's trending topics, Tony Moore.
Okay.
What you got for us?
First off, let's talk about this poor two-year-old that got attacked and killed by the alligator in Orlando. First of all, blessings to Orlando because they're going through it this week.
Okay. Rough week.
The devil is working in Orlando and we are not trying to have it.
I feel it.
So so what do you guys think about this? Because the family was vacationing at a Disney resort, which is supposed to be the happiest place on earth. Mm-hmm. And they are having a good time. And all of a sudden, the child is, you know, just standing in the pool because they're not swimming because they're not supposed to swim. That's what the sign said. And all of a sudden, the alligator come up and just snatch them.
Yeah.
What are our thoughts on this?
It's funny because everybody immediately like is online like, oh my God, and saying this and that and the other and like judging the parents and whatever. And I work really hard not to judge parents because it is a very challenging job.
Yes.
However, I do tend to want to judge people that either don't read or do dumb shit. This was the dumbest thing I had ever heard. I don't care. And it's funny because there was somebody on CNN talking about a similar thing almost happening to his kid a couple years ago, I think at the same resort. And he was very upset about how the signs were and that the signs should actually say alligator danger and all of this stuff. Okay, fine, great, add the signs. I'm not saying don't add the signs, but anybody with any millimeter of sense knows that alligators are all over Florida.
It is
a well-known fact that they will hang out. They are in the pools. They will come to your front doorstep. They be crossing the freeway. The alligators are all over. And when I heard the details,
I love you said they be.
They be.
You were real ethnic in that way.
And I'm just like,
they be passionate about something.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm like, it's Florida, y'all. Why are you playing? But the thing that was disturbing is that the kid was wading in the water. He was only like ankle deep or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So it's dark. It's a body of water that you know you're not supposed to be into.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, and I'm devastated for them because I can't imagine they're saying the dad like tried to wrestle him out of the alligator's mouth.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what they're going through. But at the same time, I want to slap them because that did not have to happen.
No.
Not even a little bit.
See, at 9 o'clock at night, you need to be preparing for bed.
Thank you.
Right.
Even though you're on vacation.
Right.
You know, you need to be, he should have been in the bath, putting his pajamas on. At least that's what my mom used to do when I was around. Now, I don't remember too, but I just, you know.
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
It ain't been that long.
You know.
It's been a little while. But, you know, it's just sad that this had to happen to this family on vacation. And I know that we can sit here and say, but you should have done this, that, and the other. Disney has said that, like, this is the thing that is, it hasn't happened.
It's actually only been 23 fatalities caused by gators since 1940.
Yeah.
And that's just like across the board.
That's just across the board.
Because they're not necessarily aggressive, usually. But again, the situation is what made it so frustrating because it's nighttime. He is a small child, like a small animal. Right. That's what they eat.
Yeah.
Like, and you have to use your common sense.
A little common sense.
I mean, I feel terrible for this family, though. I mean, they're from Nebraska, I believe they said. It was a family of three kids.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that they said that the kid was, you know, at first they were hopeful because the alligator took
it
under.
They were hopeful for a long time
because the kid wasn't found. It happened on Tuesday night. The kid wasn't found until Wednesday, right?
Yeah,
Wednesday
something like that. Whatever it was, but the next morning before they found him, they were still like calling it a search and rescue. Because they were hoping and believing that the kid would be found alive. I was like,
there was conflicting reports because then I saw that the police also said that once the child was submerged under the water for a certain amount of time that they were like, it's not going to be a rescue.
Yeah. Right.
So then at what point did they, you know, when they don't see the kid after 15 minutes, you know what I'm saying?
But I think what I had read and saw was that they were hoping that, this is a big hope, that, you know, alligators don't chew.
Yeah.
They just kind of swallow.
They try to break her.
Yeah. So I think they were just hoping that maybe the kid was just sitting up in the belly, like, is somebody going to come get me?
Oh.
Like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but wouldn't it suffocate?
I ain't been an alligator, so I don't know.
This sound like some Sharknado nest where they thought they could, like,
just chop it open and the kid was going to pop out and be like, surprise.
Yeah, and all the reports kept saying, too, that they were happy that the body was intact, which I agree.
Mean,
you know, I would hate it's tragedy regardless, but to know that your 2-year-old child had been mauled.
But they still ain't found that alligator.
Well, no.
They think they might have found it. But they got to do DNA testing and all that kind of stuff on the alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They said that there were 5 alligators that they found on the premise that they feel that one of them will probably be the alligator.
FYI, guys, if you're hanging out in Florida, if you're at a Disney resort, there might be alligators.
No, FYI, pay attention to your children.
Right.
Because we already had the kid with the gorilla.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand how the kid got down with the gorilla.
See, I still cannot fault the gorilla mom still. I mean, because here's the thing. I have a lot of little cousins. I see their parents. Kids, you know, you can get distracted very easily with a little kid.
She had three other kids.
You could have turned for 1 second to look at one kid, and that one veered to the entrance. Now, this particular thing with the alligator, I don't have the same feeling because I kind of feel like the parents were dumb because of the fact that you're not supposed to have your kid out in that late, you know,
just
in the water. And my mind would honestly be thinking, okay, it could be alligators around here. It's dark.
Right.
I can't see. I'm by water. There's no way I would have my
kid out
there.
Even if it ain't alligators, I'd be thinking it was something lizard.
A snake.
I would definitely immediately think snake.
Absolutely.
Like, really, like, I don't know. Whatever. I'm sorry for that
family.
I'm sorry for the loss, too.
How will you ever go on vacation again after that?
Like, still, at the same time, please watch your children.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And if you have kids, and if you in that situation where you got like a bundle of kids and you trying to watch everybody, give everybody the same talk my mama used to give me, grinding and everything. Don't touch nothing. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing.
Right.
And that will set you straight before you go anywhere.
And if they runners, put them on a leash. Yeah, I'll just put them on a leash.
All of them.
Yeah, I'm down with the leash.
Yeah,
you know, we had this
conversation
a couple weeks ago. I'm definitely down with the leash.
I never understood it.
No problem with it.
I thought it was a little weird when I first saw it.
It looks weird, but it works.
But it works for that little kid that's like, you like,
yes.
Snatch them up.
There are definitely those kids that are curious and exploring and do stuff they ain't supposed to.
Exactly.
And then they also said that that area had been, they policed that area for alligators to try and remove, you know, a certain amount, I believe, you know, periodically.
It sounds like a whole lot of warnings.
There's a whole lot of warnings.
And, I mean, Disney supposedly has done a pretty good job, and based on the statistics, of making sure, like, trying to keep the alligators at bay and making sure people come out to get the alligators and that kind of thing. But the fact still remains, they exist. It is their indigenous town that they living in, and we just moved in, y'all.
Right.
And so
they feel the need to walk the streets and come up to your house.
Walk the street, knock on the door, they find them in the pool. Like,
well, the best quote I saw was one of the policemen said, you know, well, alligators, like you were kind of saying this, Tony, I believe earlier, but they normally don't, you know, attack humans.
Mm-hmm.
They usually think it's a raccoon or a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, if it's in his mouth, does it know, is it going to spit it out? You know what I mean? It's still going to swallow.
No,
maybe that's why it wasn't attacked.
Maybe. Like, you don't taste.
That's so wrong.
Maybe.
That is real wrong. We shouldn't talk about that.
I mean, I feel for the family.
I feel for the family. It is too soon. Well, Joan Rivers said it is never too soon.
To laugh.
All right. Well, send that hate mail to Tony. Don't send it to
Well, I wish them the very, very best.
Yes, we wish, sending thoughts and condolences out to that family.
Don't feed the alligators. Don't hang out with the alligators. They will eat you.
They will eat you and your children.
Watch your kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, on a happier note, the VH1 Hip Hop Honors is back.
Yeah.
It's been on hiatus for 6 years now, from what I read, because, you know, I did my research. Yeah, since after a 6-year hiatus. I'm assuming it's been 6 years since it's happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Research.
I like that. You know your facts. Who are they honoring this year?
Well, they
saw a lot of people.
Yeah, they just added Lil' Kim. Shout out to Lil' Kim.
The Queen Bee.
Yeah, I don't know which Lil' Kim you're going to get, but there's one that's going to be there.
Well, we may get the Swedish Lil' Kim, apparently, from that last Instagram picture.
Stop it. She didn't look that Swedish on tour.
Oh, okay, that's true.
It must have been a filter.
It could have been a filter.
It could have been a little filter.
It could have been some extra contouring for the moment.
Or it could have been, you know, on Snapchat, you know, you do the face. Mm-hmm. It could have been that.
It could have been that.
Yeah, it could have been true. That. So, y'all want to see what Lil' Kim looked like, tune into VH1 Hip Hop Honors. They're also honoring Queen Latifah, Missy Elliott, and Salt and Pepper.
Hey.
All right. It's going to be a good show.
Yes. Also, All Hail the Queens. So,
and it's July 11th?
July 11th at 9 p.m. on VH1.
I'll be watching. I just want to see what Lil' Kim, I mean, what she looks like. And I hope she performs. Because usually when they honor them,
they all perform.
Yeah, I want to at least see. I mean, UNITY by Queen Latifah. That's classic.
So
Salt and Pepper,
yeah.
They could do. I mean, they could do the whole show.
And
with all
Missy
their hits.
Coming out, I just want to
Missy.
Push it. Great.
Push it.
That used to be my jam. Mm-hmm.
So you like that commercial that they did?
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Where they're in the elevator and they're like,
baby. Yes.
Oh, can they put In Vogue back together and then Salt and Pepper and Spin and In Vogue?
Good luck with that. Don ain't going to be hearing that. Good luck with that.
Oh, damn.
Well, see, that's the problem with female groups. It's like girls just can't get along with each other.
I can't even say nothing except, you're right.
True. Yeah, yeah.
It breaks my heart every time.
Yeah. But at least they got some strong women that they're honoring.
Yeah, that's great.
Hip Hop
Honors. I'll be watching.
That's the truth. I'll be checking it out.
You let me know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess you won't be watching.
I guess you ain't watching.
No, I won't be watching. But but good luck to them, though. You know, I'm just going to be honest. I'm probably not going to tune in. But, you know, but that's all right. You know, y'all let me know, you know, how
Keeping
it is
it,
and stuff.
Since we're being all honest, I'm probably going to watch the clips on YouTube.
See?
Afterwards. No, I'm going to watch it. I like to be in the know what's going on.
Not watching. Clips. Whole show.
Whole show. I can give you all the clips and notes you need after.
So we got the whole thing covered. Y'all make sure you tune in though. Yes. Y'all can tweet me and let me know how it is.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Toni Moore. Is that all you have today?
That is all I have for today because that's all this paper say. Those were the two things I was supposed to talk about, and now I can sit here and listen to what y'all want to talk about.
Well, before we get into our next topics, I want to talk about FreshBooks. We're doing a cool promotion with them, and I don't know how familiar you are with FreshBooks.
I'm not. What is FreshBooks?
Well, it is a easy accounting software that helps small business owners maneuver through all of the things that they have to do, all the responsibilities such as creating invoices. It takes you step by step of all those functions that you can do while having your own business.
So it takes all the mundane admin work out of the process. You can get easy done and get back to work.
It takes the pressure away.
That's good.
It does. I mean, there's only a fraction of what FreshBooks can really do. I mean, there's so many different layers to it, but the simple thing that people really like to do is the invoices. And I actually use FreshBooks, so I like the process
because
you know, it's something that I'm kind of need to be organized. So this helps me to stay organized through my process and keeping receipts and all that kind of stuff.
Keeping receipts and stuff. Well, I actually heard that they have excellent customer service. You actually get to talk to a person.
See, I like that because a lot of places you can't talk to people anymore.
You cannot talk to people. Sometimes you can't even get like a fake person from somewhere else over online. You have to like talk to somebody just on the computer and you don't actually ever get to be on the phone. So I appreciate that greatly. You're guaranteed to get help from an actual person. And we have a free 30-day trial.
Oh, I like free stuff.
Yes. You just go to freshbooks.com/geek and enter Geek Nerd Tech.
I'm going to check it out.
You can check it out. I don't need to check it out. It's a free 30-day trial. I'll take that.
All right, we're going to move on to the topics with Courtney Stewart.
Yeah, we got some more topics, some more good news. The Tonys happened, and they were...
They are happening right now.
Oh, yes, they are.
You like that, didn't
all
you?
All day, every day.
All day, every day.
Yeah, they
I just got what you were saying, because your name is Tony. Because people listening or watching might not get it.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
I think our listeners are pretty smart.
Okay, like, I'm just saying. Quick. Just in case they didn't remember
you
that your name was Tony.
Slow. Okay, well.
You can't forget Tony.
Your name is not always rememberable. Just playing. All right, just
shots fired. Okay, so anyhow, we are talking about the Tony Awards that were given out actually on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, in light of everything that's going on in Orlando too, like, this was something beautiful to happen in our country for the day. Anyway, unlike the Oscars that were oh so white, the Tonys historically gave all of their top four acting musical acting awards to folks of color, y'all. The brown folks won in all four categories. We had Leslie Odom Jr. take home the trophy for best lead actor in a musical. Mm-hmm. He's in Hamilton. We had Daveed Diggs and Renee Elise Goldsberry win for best featured actors, also in Hamilton. And then we had Miss Cynthia Erivo, I always say that wrong, won for best lead actress in a musical for The Color Purple, which prompted a beautiful standing ovation from Miss Oprah, who was in the audience. And of course, Hamilton, like, didn't quite break the record because the producers won 12 awards, but they won 11 out of their 16 nominations for the night. So Hamilton was the big winner of the night, regardless. Yeah. And
well, we knew that. They had about 200 nominations.
Everybody's talking about
this. Talking
about
it.
And I just saw today that the creator is leaving the show. And he is going to work on a movie, I believe.
Good for him.
And also another play that he has that he created. So, you know what? I'm not mad at him because he's getting so much exposure. Mm-hmm. And it's great. You know, cash them checks.
Cash them checks.
While it's hot.
And Hamilton will be, you know, touring and doing its thing for many years.
And he'll just be sitting there collecting them checks.
But are we really surprised that, you know, obviously we've talked about the Oscars as well, but with the Tonys, are we really surprised that they're giving so much recognition to African-American and Latino talent? Because we sing, we dance, that's easy, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's not surprising at all, but it is still beautiful to see, because it's not a big deal if we see, like, all four white people, because we're used to that.
Right.
But when it's all four brown people, it's like, what? Oh, yeah, okay. See, it is actually okay. And normal. There doesn't have to be anything weird about it. These are the four talented, amazing people that won, and they won.
I'm happy for them all. It's time.
Me too.
I'm happy for them. One day I'd like to get some Hamilton
tickets. Will you be watching?
But that's never going
to
happen.
I just got a call about Hamilton tickets because I went to...
From who?
I got it from... There's a place called the Pantages Theater in LA that I went to see...
oh, you're talking about when it comes here?
Yeah.
Is it 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
I'm not going to see it anymore.
You don't want to see that one. Okay, I got you.
No, I will when it comes here, but I would like to see it.
You better get your tickets now.
Yeah, you better get it now.
I know.
Yeah.
That's I'm not worried about. Okay, so we're going to move on to another topic that is a story, sort of a story update for us, because we actually talked about this story a little while ago. There was a young man by the name of Khalif Browder. He was 16 years old in 2012. When he was accused of stealing a backpack, and he was arrested, and he was sent to Rikers to await trial, basically, because his family could not afford to pay his bail. This poor child spent almost 2 years sitting in Rikers, being beaten up by guards and criminals and God knows what else, and apparently he was in solitary confinement for a large portion of the time that he was there, and subject to starvation. When he got out, he struggled with depression and eventually committed suicide in 2015.
Yeah.
Of course, the story got out, and people have been trying to, like, fix Rikers for quite some time and do some things up there. But at the end of last year, Mayor de Blasio had he basically said that no teenager, 16 or 17 year old, would be sent to Rikers for awaiting any kind of trial. So it was like a bill, I guess, that he would sign as mayor that to make that not the case. And everybody was like, okay, that's great. When's the New York State Assembly really going to step up? So apparently they have, because the big issue in New York City especially is there's a lot of backlog.
Right.
There's lots of problems with the Sixth Amendment right that we all have to a speedy trial.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have been trying to find an effective method by which to rectify that situation. So this week the New York State Assembly has put together an amendment to do some things which they still haven't mentioned in any actual article that I could find. So if you guys can find what exactly they are saying they're going to do to make the whole process to getting to trial is more expedient, please let me know, because I couldn't find it. But they still have to vote again on Monday, I guess, the next level before it's actually like put into law. But they are calling it Khalif's Law in honor of this poor child who was obviously tortured and destroyed by our amazing criminal justice system. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully it passes to the next level, and hopefully it's actually effective. I don't know exactly what they're going to do other than maybe hire some additional...
I just wish people use common sense.
Yeah, I was thinking they would just hire an additional team. What do you mean, Tony?
I just feel like this 16-year-old, it took this situation for them to look at something and say, oh, we shouldn't do it that way.
We shouldn't be sending children to Rikers Prison. I mean, who haven't even been convicted of anything.
Right, yeah. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, so it's. With. I mean, when it was happening, someone didn't think, oh, wait a minute.
Why is he?
Yeah. And y'all knew what was happening before the boy even went in there. Yeah. So why didn't it?
How was there a judge that sat through that? Because a judge okayed this.
Yeah.
How did two lawyers on either side okay this and think it was fine and send this child to this?
I don't get it.
And here's the thing: the complaint has been for many years about taxpayers paying for money that the jails are, you know, overcrowded across the nation, and that they were implementing new plans to stop these more smaller crimes or things that aren't as like major crimes.
Because he was arrested for stealing a backpack.
That's what I'm saying. It's a petty crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we need to change this, and it has to change soon. You know, it's ridiculous that, and then this is the result of the non-change. You know what I mean? So it just frustrates me to the maximum about, you know, all these policies that they want us to develop, or they say they're going to develop and they want to make these changes, but we're still dealing with stupid stuff like this.
Yeah, it's amazing how bureaucracy has so many layers and levels, and somehow we can't seem to just get it straight.
And it sounds like when we get one step closer, it never really gets broken through. It just takes so much time for one thing to change.
One little thing. Yeah.
It shouldn't take that long. That's what happens when you got too many hands in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just needs to say, you know what? We're going to do it like this. So, done. Move on to the next thing.
But that's not democracy, Tony.
Y'all need to get
that's
it together.
That's why we have legislature and assembly.
That is.
For everybody to be slow?
I don't think for everybody to be slow, but the idea that we're all supposed to have representatives of our individual places in life that come together to make these decisions together, I mean, I think that I personally don't think that they work hard enough to make it happen efficiently, but I do think that the process, as it is defined, is what this country is made
What's
of.
His family saying? Did you see? I didn't see much about it.
Yeah. No. I mean, because they obviously were devastated and still were devastated. Because every quote that I found was after the suicide everything. So I don't know that they've responded to this yet. So,
Sad, all right. Well, the best to his family, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, prayers out to them, because I know that's hard to deal with.
Terrible. But there you go.
All right. Is that all you have for us today, Courtney?
Is that all that's on your paper?
That's all that's on your little notebook, my iPad. That's all I got.
That's it. Well,
Before I get over to my hot topics, I had the honor, I guess, this week of going to NBC's luncheon they have for their show Spartan, the Ultimate Team Challenge.
Look at you. And so fancy.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you're into those course obstacle type
of
it.
Especially if it's strong man
events. Well, it is hosted by a strong man.
For the wrong reason.
Why? I love like American Ninja Warrior and stuff like I used to love American Gladiators when I was a kid.
So. Well, it's very similar to that, except this one breaks it out in more teams. So there's a team of 4 to 5 people.
Oh, I hate teams.
It's course challenges.
Always sucks, and then they're fighting. But that's what makes it amazing.
I kind of want to get together a BHL group and go do it, because here's the thing.
Oh, they're like regular people doing it.
They're regular people doing it, and so the hosts are Dahani Jones, who's from former NFL player, Evan Dollard, who actually competed on American Ninja Warrior. Mm-hmm. Carl Martino and MJ Acosta. There's great stories, like a lot of backstories about the contestants, and you know, some have tragedies that's happened in the family. Some have had some hardships with jobs, you know, and it's really about that team building portion of coming together as your group and seeing how you can survive in this type of obstacle course environment. Ooh. I think we would be hilarious.
I think it would be fun. Because
after we cuss each other out, I think it would be...
I was going to say that. Are they real serious about it? Because I feel like we would be messy and crazy and they'd be
I think that there's all kinds. You know, they were telling me at the luncheon...
So I would be down.
Down because I'm competitive, but they were telling me at the luncheon that, you know, it's all kind of teams. I mean, there's teams that are more serious about it. There's teams that... I was asking them, I was like, what are some of the most craziest drama things that are happening, mm-hmm. like breakdowns. They said, stay tuned, there's tons of those. But mm-hmm. we have a little clip that we want to show you of the show, which I'm really excited about. It airs on Monday nights at 10 p.m. on NBC, and it's called Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge. And here's a little clip preview of it.
Stage 3 breast cancer.
Her team's here to compete for family, while another to prove that age is just a number.
I could be the grandfather of some of these athletes.
But this Monday, only the team that pulls together will be the last one standing.
This is a team. This is a family.
Unbelievable!
New Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge this Monday after American Ninja Warrior on NBC.
There you go.
You can't put me on that show.
I was going to say.
Why not? Why did you guys have a change of heart after watching the preview?
The change of heart for me came when I saw that flat wall that you got to climb.
Yeah, but see, that's the fun part of the challenge. It's a mental game. It's a mental game.
Oh, honey.
We could do it. Let's do it. Team BHL.
I feel like the whole time, I'd be like, I'm not jumping in no mud. When we eating, where's craft services?
I would definitely be looking for snacks.
Are you guys a real Hollywood?
I would.
No, it's not real Hollywood. It's like, oh, you want me to run up here? It's 10,000 degrees. Y'all want me to run up what?
And it's outdoors.
It is outdoors.
Which is deep.
I think they may have some other courses outside of just being outdoors, but it is.
I'm not too mad at the mud. I mean, I think that could be fun.
I don't know about mud.
Well, it's $250,000 that you can win as your team.
How much?
$250,000.
Where are we going?
As your team.
You know what? I'll do that. You know, I'll pack some stuff. I'll drink some water and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, because $250,000, Sally Mae can finally get off my back.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean,
see, you should have led with that.
Clearly, I know. Now, lead with the cash. $250,000 worth. You can go to NBC.com. Not only can you look at old episodes, it just premiered this last Monday, so you can go look at the first episode, but you can also look online to find out how to become a team on the show.
We about to apply.
Okay. Wait till you see Team BHL.
We got some bills.
I'm
going
to have mud just all slapped everywhere. I'm going to say $250,000.
$250,000.
Get up the
wall. Wait, how much
is
that a piece? Let's see. Yeah.
How many people on the team? Five?
Well, the fifth is just the, I believe they're like one of the sports captains, so it's really four.
Four
people that share the money. Share the money.
Four.
If it's five split, it would be $50,000.
$50,000, right?
If it's four,
I can take that.
I mean,
I can take that. Uncle Sam's going to take about $15,000 of that. So, you know, 20. Maybe.
Uncle Sam, all
Uncle
15,
Sam is
and
such
taking
a dick.
Stuff.
Jeez.
All right. Well, that's a different subject. All right. But check it out on NBC.com.
All right.
All right. We're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. Well, not such a happy subject that I'm going to be talking about right now. We just came off of a positive thing, which was LA Pride this past weekend in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, the Sunday morning, the world received a lot of tragic news about a gunman whose name is Omar Mateen. He went into a gay nightclub called Pulse Nightclub and shot and killed 49 people and injured 53 people. This has been, you know, a story that is all over the news this week. I mean, it's continuous updates. I was just seeing some updates today before I left. You know, they've been talking about motives. There's some people saying that he could have possibly been gay because he was on a gay site, but he was married, and they're questioning his wife now to see what she did and did not know. She says that she knew that he was going to get ammunition and was, but she had no idea that it was going to be for a mass killing like this. It's a really crazy story as well, because we're in the environment right now where these things are starting to happen a lot. I mean, we can't, you know, you got to be fearful of going to the movie theater. You have to be fearful of, you know, going to the mall, wherever it may be. We just had the San Bernardino things that happened. Aurora, Colorado, that situation happened. President Obama addressed everything today, which we'll get into a little bit later. But, you know, this story is at the height of Obama's gun control issue that he's been trying to really get out there and really push, because something has to change. I mean, we're in a place now where you can't even go out without looking over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is what we do know a little bit about Omar, that it happened at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was a 3-hour standoff. He was killed in the process with the cops. He had texted his wife while during the shooting. The youngest person killed was a young woman who was 18 years old, who had just graduated from high school and was there mm-hmm. on a vacation. You know, they looked into Omar Mateen's like his computers and his cell phones, and he had ISIS videos, and it was a lot of things pertaining to ISIS, and just his portion of thinking about how he was going to plan out this killing. And you know, it's ridiculous to me. What are you guys thinking about, you know, everything that the news is saying with this story, and how we really can change what's going on?
For me, I think it is a reminder to love and accept people, in my opinion, because I feel like this, if it is true about Omar that he was gay, it obviously was something that was looked down upon mm-hmm. in his family. It obviously was not accepted. But if it were, it could have been something different.
Yeah.
And, you know, even along with, you know, set aside that tragedy, the tragedy of people who can't come to terms with that mm-hmm. and they do commit suicide and they kill themselves because of that. I think if this world learned to love and accept people for who they are, then a lot of this will stop. And I also think that people should not be allowed to buy assault rifles
and
guns.
Well, that's the biggest thing.
I don't understand how, and he was being investigated by the FBI.
He was on the
no fly list.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
terrorist. He was on there twice, and they said that the detective who was investigating, or agent who was investigating, felt like he wasn't a real cause of anything crazy.
But if you investigating somebody twice and you put them on a no fly list, obviously there's some flag.
There's something.
That says something.
But the problem is he's still an American citizen.
Right.
He had not committed a crime.
Right.
So they had no, all they could do, they watched him for like 10 months, I think they said. They followed him around 10 months, looked into it. They had no evidence that he was about to do anything or planning to do anything. The resources went somewhere else after mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. I think it's difficult because we ain't figured it out to be like, oh well, he was on this. I think the idea that he could get a gun having been investigated for these reasons by mm-hmm. the FBI is hugely problematic.
Scary. Yeah.
And it's also eerie. I don't know if you guys saw, but President Obama had just done a town hall.
He did.
Maybe a week before this happened. Mm-hmm. I think it was like June 2nd.
Yeah.
And someone was asking him a question about gun control and why is he for it and why would you think that that would be helpful, and he literally was brought up the idea that somebody on the terrorist watch list, he has no power as president to deny them the purchase of weapons.
Yeah.
So I think that's obviously an issue, something to be talked about. What I want to say, just one thing about it, like obviously there's politics all around this, whatever. The thing that was most appalling to me about this entire like coverage of the situation is how there were 49 people lying dead on a floor mm-hmm. in Orlando in a nightclub. And the first reports people are jumping on were about, let's fight back and forth about politics.
Politics, yeah.
And Trump
made that very ignorant statement.
Which I won't even bring up.
Yeah, like, I don't even want to discuss it.
But it literally, like, I literally was made, and don't get me wrong, I'm politics all day, all night. Let's figure out, and I'm pissed off that we even are still talking about this at this point. But the fact that those bodies were not even removed from the scene yet, and our first thought was all this other stuff instead of just straight compassion. And that's not to say that there weren't compassionate people, and that obviously when people lined up for giving blood, and there was beauty that came out of tragedy of humanity in this country. But at the same time, the broader picture to me, we should be disgusted that that's what our media was zoned in on. And I know they have to, and I know why they do it, but it just grossed me out. And the fact that Trump said what he said grossed me out too, and I hated all of it. But I know everybody want to fight about the Second Amendment.
Well, that's the big issue here.
And
that's where we keep going back and forth with this.
And I can debate with the best of them, y'all. I can see both sides of it. But at the same time, we are living in a different age. And we can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Right. So it would be nice. I mean, home dude in the Senate or whatever that filibustered for 15 hours, and now they're taking a vote on Monday
again
about two bills. I forget, it just escaped me which two they were. I think it's one to for the terrorist watch list, and there's one for extensive to extend background checks or something.
Yeah.
But everybody's basically reporting that they're probably going to fail.
Yeah.
Based on having it, and I just can't, like. Because if you're telling me, and maybe the polls are wrong, but polls supposedly over the news are saying that approximately 80% of Americans believe we need to do something about gun control. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that's the case, then the representatives, that would be 80% of our representatives voting in favor of that. Why are they not doing that?
Right.
Everybody's saying it's the NRA and the power and the money that they have. Maybe we need to do something about the NRA.
Well, they're saying that it's estimated 100 million people own guns in the United States.
I'm totally cool with that. Own your gun. Why do you need to buy an assault rifle?
Well, and here's another thing. So the
guns
rifle,
in my house.
The
like, rifle. I know.
Oh, I grew up with guns in my house. You just knew not to touch those guns.
Not I. Oh, you didn't? We had no guns in our house.
Are you against that?
Guns in the home?
Yeah.
I'm not against it. If you feel like you need to protect yourself,
people are crazy.
But I just. I an assault rifle and just be safe and be careful and use proper judgment when it comes to that. I can't. Guns scare me because of all of the things that I've seen in the news with people and guns and people accidentally shooting themselves and kids doing that and all that kind of stuff. So personally, it scares me. I'm old fashioned. I just make sure everything in my house is locked and all that. But for those who feel like they can do it, that's fine. Just be responsible with it.
Yeah.
And there does need to be some sort of law that controls who can get one.
Yeah.
And what they
can
get.
Well,
Obama's pushing
for,
has been pushing for that background check, and you have to wait a certain amount of time before you're able to purchase a gun. And that is what's being fought. You know, that part is the biggest thing. I mean, the gun that he used, Omar Mateen, is a MCX rifle. That's a version of an AR-15, which I don't really know guns that well, but I saw the images. But AR-15 was used by millions for hunting and shooting competitions. So that's why they're thinking, that's why they're saying too, mid-America, they're fighting this too, because they're like, I want to be able to shoot and kill game and do those things. So,
but there's also debate about that too, because a lot of hunters do not use an AR-15 for hunting, it riddles your, you're not hunting with
right.
that.
You're killing.
You're destroying.
And just
shooting
shredding,
out. Yeah,
basically.
Shredding, exactly.
Yeah. Shredding. And then the AR-15 sales were blocked in 1994, but Congress refused to continue to make that last for another 10 years.
Yeah.
So, it's back and forth. I mean, I also saw this in 2015. The Pew Research Center reported that a large percentage of both the Democrats and Republicans were favoring that you have to complete a full background check, but the conservatives feel that it takes away from people's gun rights, which is still goes back to that back and forth issue.
I just hope that there's not another major tragedy.
There will be.
At this point, how many tragedies need to happen before people need to realize we need to check this? It's only going to get worse.
See, it goes back to what we were saying earlier about just people just having, after the first tragedy, why didn't someone say, we should really think about these gun laws?
The other thing I thought was interesting, too, is that, because Obama, I think, brought it up in his, in the town hall that he did, that they've blocked allowing the CDC to study gun violence in this country. And I think, I'm like, we obviously have, a thing about gun violence in this country, because this is not just, I mean, the terrorism situation is newer and coming, but gun violence in general, in our cities and all over the place, has been an issue for years.
Years.
And nobody is...
Chicago. We can talk about Chicago
exactly.
all day long.
Exactly. And nobody has thought, okay, because I'm not one of those people that's like, it's just the guns, take the gun, because I believe it's people. Right. And I believe it's a culture that we have built in this country that makes it acceptable and doable. And that also is why it's so acceptable and doable to get these guns, because of the culture that we have in this country. And I think that should at least be allowed to be studied and
absolutely.
Try to figure out other mechanisms that we can do from a cultural perspective to maybe change some things, but nobody wants to even allow that to happen. Right. So I'm just like, what are y'all really trying to do? Like, I want to know what the bigger plan is to if you're blocking all of this, like, there has to be a reason.
It's to me, it's an easy reason. It's financial. Because if you block this, honestly, I think it's conspiracy theory that if you block this, and that means that there's all that money that is made from guns, it's somehow internally circulated, and they will not have that.
But nobody is saying, as far as I'm aware, no major proposition has ever been to take away individual gun rights.
Right.
It's been to limit them and limit certain weapons very specifically. But as far as I'm aware, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know everything. But there has not been a petition to be like, I mean, there's definitely people, I'm sure, that are like, please get all the guns off the street. Out there. Yeah. But like a legitimate like bill in front of Congress, like trying to go somewhere, has never said, like, let's get rid of it for everybody.
Right.
So I don't understand the fear. It doesn't make any sense. I want to know what the bigger plan is, NRA and whoever else is behind whatever is going on.
Well, they're calling this the worst mass shooting ever, and it's a homegrown terrorism. So they're saying that there wasn't any ties into any outside things, which I guess is good. I mean, I don't even know at this point, does it matter? But, you know, but they're saying this is the worst mass shooting.
A lot of people got offended by that, by the way.
Which part?
By the labeling of the worst mass shooting in the history of this country. Because it definitely was not,
probably, right. And then Obama had a speech today. He went to the memorial for the victims, and we have a clip here of him just kind of sort of addressing what we're talking about as far as the gun issue and it being a bigger problem. Here we go.
This killer may have been different than the mass shooters in Aurora or Newtown, but the instruments of death were so similar. And now another 49 innocent people are dead. Another 53 are injured. Some are still fighting for their lives. Some will have wounds that will last a lifetime. We can't anticipate or catch every single deranged person that may wish to do harm to his neighbors or his friends or his coworkers or strangers. But we can do something about the amount of damage that they do. Unfortunately, our politics have conspired to make it as easy as possible for a terrorist or just a disturbed individual like those in Aurora and Newtown.
So that's a little piece of his speech. You can go online and get the full speech that he gave today. But as we were talking about, he's addressing the issue of it being the guns and the access to guns and the easy access to guns. Mm-hmm. And he's been dealing with that battle for a long time. And, you know, until that changes, we're still going to have all these tragedies, you know, and now with social media and the glorification of everything, it's only going to get worse.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, they were just showing a video today that I saw right before I left to come here to the studio about Omar has actually been in a documentary. They're saying it was about the BP oil spill, and he was a security guard because that was his career, a security guard. So they were talking about and showing his portion of the video where he's ranting about, you know, Islamic things and just kind of his viewpoint about the BP oil spill and just, you know, they're saying they're connecting the dots of his mental state, you know, and who he was as a person. So I think they're trying to figure all that portion out right now. But at the end of the day, like Obama said, yes, we cannot capture every single person who has a ill will plan towards Americans, but we can start with this gun control.
Do you guys think that it's an effective use of time and resources to, if it has been determined that he had no, like, real links other than he probably, you know, seen ISIS stuff online and whatever, and he claimed allegiance to it, but he had no, like, direct links to the other people, that it is an effective use of time and resources to even keep going after all of this information about him? Because they already sort of have a, I guess, like a personality profile,
right,
of what, mm-hmm, these homegrown terrorists, because
right,
he was an American citizen, his parents were from Afghanistan, like, so they already sort of have an idea of what that profile looks like, that sort of, if he is legitimately, like, I personally don't necessarily fully believe that his motivation was the ISIS terrorism this, because he was talking about all kinds of stuff. He was talking about Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, right. who yeah. are all enemies. So yeah. I don't know that. But I feel like we're channeling a lot from the media in terms of time and execution and energy, like placing, like, oh, we found out that he, you know, ranted about this on this and ranted about this. But if we've already determined that he does not have a bigger purpose or plan or connection to anything that's going to lead us to maybe find other people, like, is it effective to keep going through this and listening to this over and over again, wanting to know, or do we just want to know?
I think as people and as we want to know what was his trigger, or I'll speak for myself. I want to know what his trigger was that made him snap, because I feel like he snapped.
But we never will, because we're already being told 800,000 different things. So there's yeah. lots of options. Yeah. And all that's going to keep happening is cycling him and his life and his everything through our media, through our spirits, through our energy.
But that's how we do everything.
Using our money.
That's what media does.
But I know, but I'm saying, like, is that really, are we getting anything? Are we really gaining anything from that at all? I don't know the answer. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just wondering,
did they
like,
do this for all the people who have done
to some degree?
I mean, to some
yeah.
degree, yeah. yeah.
And but I feel like we still get the same information. Like, it tends to be a lone person that has had something happen to them, and they've felt separate from society. And like, I don't feel like we're getting any new information by constantly feeding our communities this stuff. So I mean, and I appreciate a lot of networks were, you know, focusing on the victims and their lives and
their
what
stories.
They had done,
and that has been great. I feel like yeah. I have seen that differently this time.
That has been better.
Even when I went to like CNN the other day, literally it wasn't just about the story of Omar Mateen. It was about the victims and the people who survived and who were telling their stories about what actually happened and and how important, you know, certain things, family was to them and the people who helped them during their injuries. So and they had a full list of all the victims, and you could click on like a paragraph about them, and
them.
You know, that part was great. You know, even as sad as it was, that part was great, because I think people need to see the victim's stories for us to relate to it. Yeah. So that's where my media portion of it being overkill. Yeah, maybe the overkill on him, but I think people also just want to get a. It's hard for people to accept and understand why people what makes them do certain things. So I think that media obviously exploits that, but on the flip side, it can be used for a positive, because now I do know so many of the stories of the victims and just, you know, a whole new compassion for what they must have gone through, and a fear, because now I'm like, I don't want to go to the movies, I don't want to go to the mall, I don't want to, you know, you got to look over your shoulder everywhere, but it's tragedy all the way around.
It's a sad world. I don't remember the world being like this. You know what I mean? Like, growing
it's
up, you know, it was safe to go outside and ride your bike.
Play in the sunshine?
Yeah, and get lost and come back. I mean, I got lost, but I came back.
But you grew up in the South, too. It's a little different.
You're right. You know what? People should have a certain Southern mentality.
Yard.
You can leave your front yard?
No.
You know why? Because you was probably a bad child.
I was not. My
you
dad
probably,
was.
I believe
no,
Tony
my
was.
Dad was super
mischievous.
We were all girls.
Yeah. I
he
agree
was
with
super
you, Tony.
Strict,
yeah.
And he was like, you can play in the front yard, you can play in the backyard, but we couldn't go to the neighborhood and hang out with the other kids.
Your daddy knew you. Your daddy said, she probably going to grow up to be fast. I'm going to keep my eye on her.
That's racist and it's sexist.
Why is it got to be racist?
Because you know how they like jump to fast when they're talking about the black girls all the time? That was another story
no, you
we
say,
did a long time ago.
No, you say fast about anybody. Whether they white, black, Mexican, red, blue, black. If she looked like she was going to be a fast ass, then we called it just as that. You a fast ass.
I was a tallboy, so that doesn't even apply.
All right, well.
You say that now.
Will, you know what? I think we should call Courtney's family and find out what she was exactly like.
They would
if
not
any of your family
fast.
Is listening, please text
on
me.
On next week's show, we're going to have Courtney's family.
We're going to do a bio on Courtney's
the same
life.
Ponytail for like 5 weeks, and my mom finally yelled at me
pictures.
And was like, snapped that thing out of your hair. Anyway,
that's hilarious.
I was not one of those girls.
Well, we have some great controversial subjects today. And, you know, if obviously this story that happened with Orlando is going to be continuing for a while and continuous updates. I'm sure there's updates right now even. Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thank
Courtney,
you.
Where can fans find you?
You can find me everywhere at Stuart Starlet.
Tony, where can fans find you?
You guys can find me on all social media platforms at Lounging with Tony, or my website, loungingwithtony.com.
And you can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, all of that fun stuff. Thanks for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live this week, and we will see you next week. And be sure to watch Spartan on NBC Monday nights.
Peace.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.